exhortation there. 1 John 4:16, and this is in the New Living Translation. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. That we know and we believe the love. Amen. And then 1 John 3:1 in the New International Version, NIV, says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. I like the way that reads. He's lavished his love on us that we should be called the children of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So those are two good scriptures. And just meditate in those. Glory to God. Amen. Well, tonight, what the Lord put on my heart was to minister on healing tonight. And so it's always a good time to hear the word of God on healing, no matter where you are, no matter how healed you are, or no matter how sick you are. Amen. It's always good to hear the word on healing or whatever the God's word is. I was sitting in the airport this weekend, and so as I'm sitting there, he just dropped this in my heart. And I remember in Bible school, one of our instructors told us, you know, there were some of us who may not had a deep supply of finances to dip down in to pay for our tuition and not eat sardines or, microwave popcorn in a brown paper bag as you were pretending to have microwave popcorn. But she said she was talking to students about those that came there that had money in reserve, that might have sold a business or, you know, had people that were taking care of their tuition, and said, you know, it may be good for you to put your faith on something else. You may not need it for finances right now, but I guarantee you, you're going to need your faith at some point in time in your life. And so we need to be constantly exercising our faith and keeping our faith active so it doesn't atrophy on us. Amen? And so you may not need healing in your body at this moment. Hallelujah. But, you know, praise God. If you live out the rest of your life and you don't need healing, hallelujah, I'll dance with you. Amen. But there may come a time when we need healing in our body and we need to be strong and prepared and ready for it. Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight I'm going to start out in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing, what's that next word? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond the Jordan. In the verse 24 in the Living Bible says, of that last part of that verse, he healed them all. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. You get to do sword drill tonight. If you remember Vacation Bible School, what they would do is take you through the Bible and memorize scripture. And so that whole week, you had a whole arsenal by the end of the week when you left. So hopefully you'll have a whole arsenal added to what you have already. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and when he came and called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. Let's go to Matthew 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and every sickness and every disease among the people. So we see in just these three passages of scripture here that Jesus, when he was going about preaching and teaching the gospel, that he healed all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. He healed all sick people that had all kinds of things wrong with them. He healed every sickness and every disease. And so in looking at these two words, you know, we know what all and every means, but sometimes it's good to look at it. And so in the American Heritage Dictionary, the word all is defined this way: the total number, amount, or quantity, totality, complete, entire, being each individual or part without exception. So all means complete and entire without exception. And every constituting each and all members of a group without exception. So I looked at without exception. So with these sicknesses and these diseases, Jesus healed all of them without exception. Complete and entire without exception. Amen? And let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Jesus, he took care of all of it, all sickness and all disease. And how did he take care of it? Well, it says here in Galatians chapter 3, 13, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And we are the Gentiles that this blessing came upon, that we might receive the promise. Have you received the promise of God through the Spirit and through faith? So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And it says, hath redeemed us. So it's a past tense event. Not that he's going to do it. It's something he's already done for us. The redemption work of Christ has already been wrought, is already been done. So he's already healed us. Amen? Of all these sicknesses and all these diseases and every kind of thing that can be named. And so let's go back and let's look at the law. Let's go to verse Deuteronomy 28. We're going to look at some things in Deuteronomy 28. Now, the law was a rod of measurement that the Lord gave the Jews to show them where they didn't measure up or raise to the standard of what he expected of them. So it was like a measuring rod or a measuring stick for them to show them the guidelines of whether they were in obedience or disobedience. So there are other places where he mentions the law, but we're going to look at it specifically in Deuteronomy 28 right now. Now, verses 1 through 14, we see here, is all the blessing scriptures. And I'm sure if you've been in the body of Christ for 5 minutes, you probably already know the blessing scriptures. So we don't have to go through all of them. We're going to look at just a few of them tonight. And then it says in verse 1, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake you. So they don't just come on us. They're going to overtake us. Anybody can stand some overtaking. And it says here, the qualifier is, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the ground, the cattle, the fruit of your cattle, whatever your kind is. I didn't look up kind, so increase of your kind and your flocks and your sheep. Blessed shall be the basket, your basket and your store. Blessed shall be thou when you go in and when you go out. Amen. So all these blessings that he talks about here, I shall make you plenteous in goods. And he goes on and goes on down to verse 14. Now, we're going to take a minute and we're going to look at verse 15 through the end of the chapter. So you got the blessings down. You know what those are. And just before we read those, one of the things that the Lord had instructed Moses to do that on Mount Gerizim, he had them divide the tribes up, six on one half, one on the other. And so on Mount Gerizim, he told them to go on that mountain, half of them go on that mountain, and they will pronounce the blessing. So we're going to divide the sanctuary here. Who wants to be the blessing? Blessings over here. All right. They spoke up quicker, guys. I'm sorry. So this is Mount Gerizim over here. And so all those verses through verse 1 through 14, when they went on Mount Gerizim, he told them to shout out what the blessings were on that mountain. And then, say over here, I'm redeemed. Galatians 3:13 says you're redeemed. Hallelujah. So don't take this to heart. So this is Mount Ebal over here. And on Mount Ebal, they will pronounce all the curses. And so God didn't want us to get this confused, the blessing and the curses. So he put them on two separate mountains. So if we didn't get a picture enough ago, guys, they're on a different mountain. Neither of the twain shall meet. They're on different mountains. So God put blessings on one mountain, curses on one mountain. He separated them. And so a lot of folks get that messed up. You know, they look at blessings or curses and they say, well, you know, God broke my leg because I needed to read the word. I had a lady say that to me one time, not that he broke her leg, but she got sick in her body and she was confined to a bed. And so what she said was, the Lord has been trying to get me to slow down so I read his word, so he made me sick. Sickness is a curse. God's not using his sickness to put on our body so that we will, I mean, he has the Holy Ghost. If you're born again, the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you, and he's a better teacher than sickness. Yes. Amen? In 1 John, it tells us in chapter 2 says that the teacher lives in us, and he's a great teacher, and he knows how to teach us from the word of God. So God doesn't have to use a tool of the devil to teach us something. Amen? It's a part of the curse, and he's not using that to help us, to make us better. So no sickness and no disease or whatever the curse might be, God's not using that. So, you know, and if he did use that and you died from the sickness or disease, what was it you were supposed to learn? You're not even here anymore. So the lesson you were supposed to learn, you're in heaven now. Before we go on and look at the curses, let's go to John 14:16. And it says in this verse, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So he's not in there for a little time. He's in there for a long time, forever, it says. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Because he lives in you, amen? Amen? And it says, you know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. Say, I know the Holy Ghost. He is my teacher. He lives in me. And I know his voice. And the voice of a stranger I will not follow. Amen. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. And he will show you things to come. So what is the truth? The truth, in John 17:17 says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the Holy Ghost is going to reveal to us the truth of the word of God. He can't reveal to us a lie because that's not how he operates. He deals in the truth. So he's going to reveal the truth to us, and we'll listen to him and follow him, and he's our guide in the truth. Hallelujah. So in Deuteronomy 28:15, let's go back there. It says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And we're going to look at a few of them tonight. There's a lot of scripture in here from 15 to the end of the chapter. But just let me give this caveat first. You're going to see, when, as we read some scripture, it says the Lord will make or the Lord will smite. So in the qualifying statement he put in here, that if you will not hearken unto my word, amen? So if we're not obeying him, we're not doing what he tells us to do, what we do is we take ourselves off of his territory over into the devil's territory, and it allows us to be subject to whatever the devil's going to do to us. And even outside of disobedience, we just live in a fallen world, guys. And so there's always not this deep, hidden mystery behind why we're sick. You just live here. You live here in a cursed world, amen? And so whether it's something that you did to cause yourself to be sick, whether it's something the devil did to cause you to be sick, just resist sickness altogether and just leave it at that. And if he's not revealing anything to you and he's not telling you anything, just put it on the shelf. Just get yourself healed. If he wants to reveal why it is and why it was that way later, follow on to know him. Amen? Glory to God. So let's drop down to verse 18. It said, "Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind and the flocks of thy sheep." Verse 21, "The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from the land, whether thou goest to possess it." That word pestilence there means plagues or destruction. So let's go on. Verse 22, "The Lord shall smite thee with consumption." Anybody want some consumption? "And with fever and an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew." I want none of that. "And they shall pursue thee until thou perish." Consumption is what we know today as tuberculosis. Verse 27, "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt." We don't even have to define that to know we don't want none of that. Botch don't sound good. But what botch is a burning or boils or tumors on your body. So a botch of Egypt and with hemorrhoids and the scab and the itch, wherever thou canst not be healed. We don't want no botch. Verse 28, "The Lord will smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart." That word madness there is insanity or raving in your emotions or in your mind. And I just threw this one in, chapter 20, verse 32. "Your sons and your daughters shall be given over to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing of them all day long, and there shall be no strength in your hand." Part of the curse is, I know that doesn't have to do with healing, but it may have to do with emotional healing. If you're watching your kids being carried off by another god or something else that they're looking at other than the Lord thy God, it causes your heart to hurt. It causes things in you, given as slaves over to foreigners. So, you know, I remember one time my daughter, she went over to somebody's house to play. And something that they did at their house, we don't do at our house. And so she came back to our house after being at their house, and she did it. And she said, "Well, they let so-and-so's parents let them do it at their house." And when I said, "So-and-so parents don't live here. So you abide by the rules that go on in this house." What is that? A foreigner or someone outside of your influence is influencing them to do something wrong or live a certain way. So you're redeemed from that. Amen? And it says, part of that verse, it says, "Every day you will strain your eyes looking in vain over for your children to return." God didn't want us to do that. Amen? Verse 35, "The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs, which are sore botched that cannot be healed, from the sore of thy foot to the top of thy head." We're going to get to some good news here in just a minute. 45, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till you be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandment and his statutes which he command you." Verse 46, "And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder upon thy seed forever." Verse 58, let's go there. "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear his glory, this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make these plagues wonderful and plagues of the seed, even great plagues and long continuous of sore sickness and long continuous." Verse 60, "Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee." And verse 61, "Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until you be destroyed." Now, let's go back to Galatians 3:13. I know, y'all want to get out of, you want to get off Mount Ebal real quick, don't you? Hallelujah. So verse 31 here says, "Also every," and we already looked at that word, right? "Every complete and entire without exception, sickness and every complete and entire, every plague, which is not written in this book." So anything that the Lord didn't put in here as or list in here as a sickness or a disease or a plague or what have you in this book, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So whether it has a name, don't have a name, we're redeemed from it. Amen. Hallelujah. Every sickness, complete and entire without exception, and every disease, complete and entire without exception. Galatians 3:13 and 14 says, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So whether it has a name, doesn't have a name, we're redeemed from it. Amen. We identify with him. We identify with the cross. We identify with the finished work of Jesus. We don't identify with sickness. We don't identify with disease. We don't identify with plagues. That's not our identity. Who we are now in Christ, or we are the healed of the Lord. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us. I was watching a news show yesterday, and they were doing this piece on a little girl, and she had a particular disease that they gave it a name. I couldn't even begin to pronounce the name, and so they're doing this piece on her, and they're doing this campaign to try to find a cure for what's wrong with her, and other people that may have this, and so at the end of the expose, she says to her mom, she says, "Mom," she said, "when they find medicine for what's wrong with me, does that mean that I won't have this condition anymore?" And her mother said, "Yes, honey, that's what that means." And she says, I don't mind them finding medicine to make me better. I just don't know who I am going to be without this condition." I started screaming at the TV. You'll be healed. That's who you'll be. You'll be without that condition in your body. You can find out who you are without that condition. That condition does not identify her or define her. She is a person separate from that disease. But in her mind, she didn't know who she was without that condition in her body. And a lot of us Christians, we have a tendency to do the same thing. Years and years ago, I went to when I first came back to the Lord, I went to a church here in town, and there was a lady, a member of the church there, and every so often she would get real ill, and ended up in the hospital. Then she'll come home, and so during the time of her illness, people would come to the house and see her. People would bring food to the house. Phone calls were coming. And then the pastor would go over, and his wife would go over and see her. And so this happened several times. And, she'd miss church. And then, again, people were going to her home and visiting with her and everything. And in one afternoon, our pastor was in his office studying, preparing for the midweek service. And that afternoon, he decided that he was going to go see her at her house. And as he got up to walk out of his office at the church, the Lord said, "Don't go see her." And he argued with the Lord, and he said, "Lord, I told her I was coming. She's expecting me to come." And the Lord said to him, "She's using sickness to get attention." And so, again, he's arguing with the Lord. But, Lord, I mean, she ends up in the hospital. All these things happen to her, And the Lord says she likes the visits, people come into her house. She likes the attention that she's getting from everyone. She likes the food. She likes the fact that you and your wife come over and visit her. He said, "Don't go see her." And so he got on the phone and he called her and called her name and said, I'm not coming over today. And she said, "Pastor, well, why is that?" And he said, he told her, he said, "I was getting ready to come over there, and the Lord told me," he said, "a lot of people are praying for you to get better." And he said, "and I noticed that you get better, and after a while, the sickness comes back on you just as hard as it did, the time before." And he said, "the Lord said to me that you're using sickness to get attention." And of course, smoke coming out of her nostrils, and she was mad. And he said, I can help you. I can help you get past this, but you're going to have to acknowledge the truth. No, Pastor, that's not what I'm doing. I'm really sick. And she would be really sick, but she's yielding to it to get the attention. And so he said, well, I'll be here. I'm going to pray for you. And he said, I'll be here when you're ready to come, when you're ready to get rid of that sickness. He said, I'll be here and I'll help you. She never came back to church. Sickness is not anything that we need to play with. It's a curse. It's part of what God said. It's separated out. These are the blessings. This is what happens to you when you obey my voice. When you're in my kingdom, this is what happens. It's not anything to play with. And I know someone who played around with it to get attention, who are no longer on the planet anymore. It's not anything to play with. And we don't want to get in bed with it, and then when it gets bad, well, we want it off of us. Always want it off of us. Amen? We're not yielding to sickness, and it's a tool of the devil. We're not yielding to what the devil has in order to seek out whatever it is that we're trying to get, whether it be attention or finances or whatever it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's something for all of us. Amen? So it means every sickness and every disease, complete and entire, without exception. God doesn't want us to identify with that. You know, if we have had long-time things, and sometimes we get comfortable with long-time chronic things that happen in our body. You know, and we let our guard down. Oh, I've had that pain in my knee for 16 years. Well, the pain that's in your knee, it doesn't have to continue to be there. Well, I've had migraine headaches all my life. Just because they existed all your life doesn't mean that they have to exist the rest of your life. I've gotten delivered from migraine headaches. Amen. Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda did a teaching a few years ago in 2014. And she ministered on that. And on a Wednesday night service, I was sitting in the service and I looked up at the clock. And at the time that it was, I said, I have been delivered from migraine headaches and I will never have another migraine headache. And I haven't had a migraine headache since I looked up at the clock that day. Amen. And so just because it's existed in your body, just because it's been there, always been there, and they say, I've had people say, even with the migraine headaches, my doctor told me, you'll have to be on this certain medicine the rest of your life. And I said, no, I won't. And she gave me the prescription for it. I took it home. I got the prescription for it. And then the side effects from the prescription were worse than a migraine headache. So I was laying in bed one afternoon, and I just took the bottle and threw it across the room, and I am not going to take medicine the rest of my life. I refuse to do it. And at that time, you know, I didn't have the migraine headaches left, and for a long time, I think I probably went like 5-6 years and no migraine headaches. And then all of a sudden, they start creeping back up again. And then I had to get back on top of it again. And Pastor prayed for me, and they went away, and then you know, I went another space of time for years. And then, you know, they start popping back up. And then on 2014, I said, not again, no more. And I haven't had one since. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Just because they say this is incurable doesn't mean that Dr. Jesus can't take care of it. He made our body. Amen? He made our frame. He knows how to heal it. He knows how to take care of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God put those stripes on his back so that we would be healed. In Psalms 119, 89, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We have to get it settled on the inside of us that healing is ours and it belongs to us. There's so many opinions. You know, it passed away with the last apostle, when the last apostle died. When the last apostle is not dead, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father on high. Amen? And he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So the last apostle is not dead. Hallelujah. So that excuse is out of the water. Glory to God. Let's go to, Hallelujah. Well, I have this quote here. I want to read this to you. This is out of the book, Christ the Healer. If you've been in Bible Institute, if you've been in Miss Opal's class, if you've been to Healing School, you've heard this before. And it says, F.F. Bosworth says in his book, Christ the Healer, "It is impossible to boldly claim by faith a blessing that we are not sure that God offers, because the power of God cannot be claimed where the will of God is not known." So we have to know that it's the will of God for us to be healed. Amen. And the greatest display of his power, Ephesians 1:19 says that we who believe can know the greatest of God's power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, lives in us. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when, you know, someone dies, they leave. Most people leave a will or testament of their life and what they want done with their belongings and all of that. And so the definition we used to look at Old Testament, New Testament. One of the definitions says that it's a covenant between God and man. So God's will, his testament is between God and man. And so we're going to look in his word here at some things that he's promised us. In Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10, it says, "After this manner, before pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So he's applying here that he has one will, and that will in heaven is what he wants to happen here on the earth. Amen? Which tells me that his will is not always being done on the earth, because he's asking us to pray. He's asking, I want you to pray so that my will that's in heaven will be done upon the earth. So what is his will regarding healing and wholeness for us all? Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over all, over the cattle and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth." We have authority over all the creeps upon the earth. Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created to him, male and female created he them." Verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything, living thing that moveth upon the earth." Verse 29, "God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Verse 30, "And to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth on the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." It was so. "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." God created us in his likeness and image. He created us perfect. He created us, and he said, it's good. Amen? And there was no sickness found in the garden. In any passage that I read, did anybody see anything about sickness in there? So in the beginning, when he made man, there was no sickness until the fall and sin entered into the earth. All right. So in the earth before the fall, everything was perfect. There was no sickness there. What about in the end? Is it God's will for us to be healed? Let's go to Revelation 21, verse 3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and shall be his, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Hallelujah. "For the former things are passed away." Revelations 22:3, "And there shall be no more curse." Woo! "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." So there's no death, because sickness sometimes ends in death. It's just slow death anyway. and there's no sorrow, there's no crying, and everybody rejoices over the, you know, there be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. Amen? But there's no more sickness. There's no more curse. So in heaven, in the end, there's no sickness. So in the beginning, when he was in the garden, there was no sickness. In the end. So is it still God's will for us to be healed today? I submit to you, if it wasn't there in the beginning, and it's not going to be there at the end, he don't want us to live with it right now. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. John 10:10. If you have been here, Cornerstone, you've had to, well, if you hadn't heard it, we're going to read it right now. John 10:10, the thief cometh but for to steal and kill and destroy, and I'm come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That sounds like Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal to me, doesn't it? The Lord says to us, the thief cometh not for to steal and kill and destroy. Mount Ebal. And I am come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. God, you know, he's separating out who's doing the bringing the sickness, who's bringing the destroying, who's bringing the killing, who's bringing all of the stealing. He's delineating where the line is. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, y'all, Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the one that deceives us up on the earth, the one that deceived people, the one that brings traditions of men's and doctrines and devils, that the last apostle died, that sickness is supposed to glorify God, the one that told you the things that are wrong, that God don't want you healing. He might heal you this time. He may not heal you. He'll heal that person over there, but he won't heal you. This is what's going to happen to him in the end. I think it's worthy of reading it one more time. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. You know where you're going to be when that happens to him? You're going to be sitting around the throne of God because you are his redeemed. Amen? He will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented. Anybody been tormented in your body? This is what's going to happen to him. Anybody been tormented in your body, in your mind, in your flesh? Well, it's coming back on him, and it's going to happen day and night, forever and new. That's good news. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus walked this earth. He came to show us the will of the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we've seen him in his personified way as he walked the earth. And these are the things that Jesus did up on the earth. He said, I came to bring life. And I came to bring that more abundantly. So what? These are some scriptures that it talks about the work that Jesus did in bringing life on the planet. 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What was the purpose that he came? To destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. In Luke 13:10, it says, it talks about the lady who was bent over for 18 years. Jesus said this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. Not God. God bound this lady because there was something he wanted to prove. God bound this lady because he wanted to get glory for the sickness that was when she was delivered from this sickness. God put sickness on her body so it'd be some kind of testimony. No, he said, whom Satan has bound. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy. I like that word, destroy. You know, I grew up with brothers, and they know how to destroy stuff. I mean, not just, you know, break a leg off here or take a wheel off here. They know how to destroy stuff that it doesn't look like what the original purpose of it was. Jesus came that he might destroy
the works of the devil. He came to obliterate it. And the scripture says that the anointing, it doesn't break the yoke. It destroys the yoke. Make it look like it wasn't even there before. Amen? Hallelujah. His anointing destroys it. I've had a couple things happen in my body where it doesn't even look like anything ever happened before. Hallelujah. Because he destroyed it. Jesus destroyed the work of the enemy. You know, a few years ago, praise the Lord. I'm getting excited here. Glory to God. I went to, a friend of mine was over in my apartment, and we decided we wanted to have breakfast for dinner. So she's making pancakes, and I'm doing bacon and stuff. And so I put these strips of bacon in a toaster oven. So when I went to get the bacon out, the little tray that I was taking out hit the top of the toaster oven, and that bacon grease came over on my hand. I mean, within minutes, seconds, it started blistering up. I put it on the faucet and everything. And, this whole area of my hand was just blistering up. And of course, I'm crying and screaming and everything. And it ended up having to be most likely a second to third degree burn on my hand. And so I never went to the emergency room or anything with it. We finally got it calmed down and all that. But then as the blister started peeling off, there was this mark on my hand. And so I didn't want this mark on my hand. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what can we do? So he told me a particular cream to get. And he said, whenever you apply this cream to your hand, he said, you know, use your healing scriptures. And so after a while, I don't know how long I did it. And after a while, I just happened to look down on my hand and realize that my skin was brand new on my hand. And there is no sign, and even if I show it to you today, there's no sign that my hand was ever burned. Hallelujah. He destroyed the works of the devil. And just a few years ago, in the first house I had bought here in town, I was out power washing my driveway all day. And I decided at the end of the day that I was going to get one more thing in, you know, just be done with my yard. So I had an electric hedge clipper. So my arms are tired from power washing all day. I'm tired from power washing all day. And I don't even know how I had the strength to hold it up. But when I held it up, the chain on the thing caught my hand right here. I threw it down in the yard and went running in the house. You know, it left a blood trail through my kitchen and all of that. So I called Gail on the phone. And so she comes over to the house. You know, she's following the blood trail to find me in the house, you know. And we ended up in the emergency room, and I had stitches in my hand. And after a while, went to the doctor, got the stitches taken out and what have you. And I had a scar. And I went, Lord, I don't want no scar on my hand. This is the hand that got the burn went away, and so we're not going to mess it up with a scar. And so so one Saturday afternoon, I don't know if the Mackins are here tonight. I was at Tammy and Dr. Mackins' house, and he was looking at it just to make sure it healed up and everything. And so I got in my car, and I noticed around the edge of it, you know, it was just kind of, you know, like dry skin, just kind of peeling away. So I started peeling, and I kept peeling. And next thing I know, that whole top layer of skin came off, and there was brand new skin underneath. And so you can't tell that there was a scar or anything on my hand. Other than taking my word for it, you know, I'm not a liar. There's no scar there. There's no burn there anymore. He destroyed the works of the devil. Amen? Hallelujah. So what Satan is doing, Jesus is undoing. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And if God is with him, his Father is with him, that means that he's not putting sickness on you that you think is his will, because he would be undoing his will. God was working with Jesus to undo what the devil was oppressing people with. Glory to God. So Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn to Mark 7, verse 7. Mark 7, 7. A lot of times we allow our experiences to dictate to us what the will of God says is. The will of God remains the same regardless of our experiences. And a lot of people try to explain away what's happening to them or what's not happening to them because of their experience. And our experience should not change the word of God. Mark 7, 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines of commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. Let's go back to our original scripture we looked at, Matthew 4, 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. So when he left a commission for us also. So if he healed people, and he wanted to do away with the traditions of men and the doctrines of devils. Mark 16, 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth shall not be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. Any believers in here? You believe in the works of Jesus. In my name shall they cast out devils. We saw in Matthew 24 where he healed those that were lunatic. He healed those that had the palsy. He healed those that had devils. So now he's telling us for us to go in his name and cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they what? Shall recover. So it was his will in the garden that sickness not be in the garden, because they were healed in the garden. It's his will when we get to heaven that sickness and disease not be in heaven. It's his will for us right now. As he walked the earth, when he was here, he was undoing the works of the devil and healing all those that were oppressed of him. And then when he left, he commissioned us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Let's go to the Hebrews 13, 8. So if it was his will for them in the garden to be healed, if it is his will that when we get to heaven that we be healed, if it was his will as he walked the earth for us to be healed, and if it was his will for us to go and undo what the devil is doing to people in their life, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was his will yesterday in the beginning. It's his will today, currently where we are right now. And it will be his will when we get to heaven that we walk in free of sickness and disease. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you not be consumed. God doesn't change. Hallelujah. If he was undoing sickness then, he's undoing it now. He has not changed. Glory to God. So what do we do when we get a bad report? What do we do when symptoms appear in our body? What do we do? Hallelujah. And for 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for we walk by in the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. I'm telling you, the enemy can come up, set up tables, imaginations in your mind when you've been given a diagnosis of something. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, the anointed one. Anything that's saying to you, I'm bigger. I'm going to take you out. I'm the biggie. You know, it used to be when we hear the word cancer, you know, everybody just faint. But Jesus is bigger than cancer, amen? We hear, Arthur. You know, I got Arthur in my body. Arthritis. That's what people call him, old Arthur. Well, old Arthur is telling me it's going to rain because such and such and such and such is, you know, hurting in my body. I remember my grandmother, great-grandmother, you know, we must be going to get a rainy spell because my knees bother me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not bigger than him. Everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? It's his truth. It's his word. If his word says that we are healed, and something is saying, nope, I'm greater than the word, it has to bow down to that. Because that verse of 61 said, everything that's named and not named, Galatians 3:13 said that we've been redeemed from it. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And even in our mind sometimes, you know, certain words are mentioned. Or when your body is racked with pain. It's hard for you to concentrate. It's hard for you to focus. It's hard for you to read your healing scriptures. Anybody been there? I was watching a video of Dodie Osteen. Dodie Osteen was diagnosed with, I forget the particular cancer that she had, but years and years ago, she was diagnosed with cancer, given up to die. The doctor said, there's nothing else we can do for you. This lady is still here on the earth. Her husband's in heaven. She outlived her husband when the doctors told her that she had a certain amount of time, you know, that she was going to live. And it wasn't, I don't even think it was a year. And so she's still here in her 80s or 90s or something like that. And she said she still gives up today. Every day she had 40-some healing scriptures that she read to get healed. She reads those scriptures every day. What is she doing? Anything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, she's fortifying herself against that. Amen? You think, well, she doesn't have cancer anymore in her body. Or she beat cancer. She overcame. The word of God that she hid in her heart overcame cancer. The word of God that she had faith in overcame cancer. She just didn't fight cancer with her own will and her own mind and her own strength. It was the word of God that she hid in her heart. That still keeps her alive today. Amen? Hallelujah. So things trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God in you. There's I'm going to do this really quick. In Isaiah 43, verse 10. And through the Isaiah 40s, right along in there in the beginning, there's a lot of scripture there where God talks about himself. And when something is exalting itself against the knowledge of God in me, I get those scriptures out and I start reading them. And God is talking about himself, who he is. Amen. And it says, verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have shown. When there was no strange God among you, therefore ye were my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before me the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who will let it? That word let there means stop it. I will work, and who will stop it? God says, who's going to stop my work? In Isaiah 44, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is no God. And who, as I shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people. And the things that are coming shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from the time and from that time, and I have declared it. Even ye are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no God. I know not any. God says he doesn't know of any. Man, I tell you, I start reading those scriptures. My shoulders start rolling back. I start getting bold and sassy with the devil because I know who my God is. It just reminds me of who he is and that he's greater than any sickness or disease. He's greater than poverty. He's greater than anything that the devil can throw at you. You have to know who he is and who he is in you. Amen? He said, I don't know of any other God. Anything that tries to exalt itself against him, I don't know of any of them. There is no God for him. I know not any. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, let's stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've got sickness in your body, you and who he is to you. He's healed your body. He put stripes on his back so that you could be healed. He took a crown upon his head so you could have a sound mind. You start declaring out of your own mouth who God is to you, what he's done for you, what he's done in your body, who he is to your body. Not anything setting up table in your body. Declare that it's bigger than him. Hallelujah. Our God is greater. Our God is bigger. Our God is... Oh, the anointing destroys every yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. He healed every sickness. He healed every disease. Pain can't stay in my body because of who I belong to. I'm in covenant with God. I'm Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to lay down and take anything. You start declaring in your own body who you are. You declare in your own body with those stripes that Jesus took. Whatever name that it is in, whether it has a name or doesn't have a name, it has to bow down to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I think I just preached myself happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't you just accept anything that comes down the pipe. Now, I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to myself as well. These glasses on my head. I'm speaking to my eyes. Hallelujah. You got things in your body. I got things in my body I'm working on. You know, I was talking to the Lord the other day and said, I was talking about signs and wonders and miracles and we're believing you for that and all of that. And he said, I would just be real happy if y'all just walk in your covenant as believers. I went, okay. Indicted. Guilty as charged. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's wanting to do some things, God. Guys, he's wanting to do some things in the earth. But, you know, something, Dana, when she was here, she was talking and, you know, she talked about fellowship and koinonia and all that. And she said something. I don't think she realized what she even said when she said it. She said, Lonnie and I were talking, and he said this. He said, people want healing without the healer. And you can get healing. You know, people have miracles all the time happen to them. But you don't see them living for him. Thank you, God. I appreciate you giving him. I thank you for saving my life. I thank you for delivering me in that car wreck. I thank you for, you know. But do they seek after the healer, the deliverer? It says in the Bible, in the Psalm, that God showed his acts to the children of Israel. But he showed his ways to Moses. And how did he show his ways to Moses? He showed his ways to Moses when Moses said, I'm not going without your glory. And the Lord said, I'm going to hide you right here in the cleft of the rock. I got this place where I'm going to put my hand over you. He healed not this place for him to come and find out not just that he saw God do stuff, but how he did it. He told him his secrets. This is how I opened the Red Sea. They saw that the Red Sea was open. He said, this is how I did it. I don't know if he blew his nose or he just waved his hand or, you know, I don't know. But he knew the ways of God because he got to know the healer. He got to know the deliverer. He got to know him. Amen? And that's what we want. We just want to just seek what his hand can deliver us, even though that's good. And sometimes it doesn't last. Paul said, I know in whom, not what, in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he will keep me. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Say this after me. And Jesus healed them all.
He healed them all.
Amen. Hallelujah. I could just keep going. But I think I'll release you to go build yourself up on who your God is to you. Amen. And don't tolerate stuff. Don't put up with stuff. Just don't let stuff linger. Tell them who your God is. Amen.